And so if you would open to Matthew chapter 6, if you're not there already, we're picking up in verse 25 today. And as we move to these remaining verses of chapter 6, Jesus moves from the admonition that we saw last week to invest with the currency of heaven rather than the currency of earth, now to an admonition to concern our minds with the things of God's kingdom and his righteousness rather than with the cares of our basic necessities in life. And Jesus warns here against worry, which can become an all-consuming reality in our hearts if we don't take care to trust God to make provision for our needs. I was curious, and I got on Microsoft Copilot, and I asked about anti-anxiety medications. How many are there? And how many people are taking them? Well, this is what I got back, and I hope that it's trustworthy. But what I found was there are at least 50 different anti-anxiety medications that are being taken daily by over 31 million people each day in America. And that tells you a little bit about, well, tells you a lot about many different things. But one of the things that it tells us about is the nature of worry. The fact that it is a crippling condition that can control the mind and can have detrimental effects upon the body. And God didn't create, God didn't save the believer to live a life of worry. And so Jesus addresses this here. Worry, anxiety, can and must be treated spiritually. And always saddens me to see believers looking for a physical or a psychological answer to spiritual problems. Worry and anxiety can and must be treated spiritually, and Jesus writes that spiritual prescription here in these 10 verses. And so let's read the text and let's consider four peace-producing truths that Jesus has prescribed for our hearts when we're faced with worry. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we consider your word this morning, we acknowledge our need. Lord, we're here because we want to partake of this spiritual food that will provide the nutrition and sustenance that, Lord, we can't live without. I pray that you would feed us, feed our souls this morning from your word, and open our spiritual eyes to see, Lord, our need and your prescription for spiritual health. And we We just thank you for all that you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you four don'ts here this morning that Jesus gives in these 10 verses. And the first one here is this: don't live under the control of material possessions. Don't live under the control of material possessions. He says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, and by the way, well, I'll get there in just a moment. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And so I'll sum that up here in this phrase: don't live under the control of material possessions. We see that first word, therefore, which points us back to the previous verse that tells us you can't serve God and wealth. You have to choose your master. And that's true when it comes to worry and anxiety in our lives. It becomes a controlling master over us. And Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. And so he says, therefore, take no thought. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't be full of care in your heart for these things. Now, this is in contrast to the temptation to become a servant to them. And in the time and culture of Jesus, food, drink, and clothing, which he all addresses here, he's talking here about the basic necessities of life. The things that we need and use every day. And food, drink, and clothing in Jesus' culture required much more to acquire than they do for us today. And so typically in our comfortable lives, we don't necessarily worry much about food, drink, and clothing. But sometimes they are scarce and a need. But we can apply these truths to any type of worry, any situation. But these things were not in abundance for the average person in Jesus' world, and they were threatened by various factors in the natural world. And it would have been easy to become anxious with regard to these basic necessities of life, and so Jesus shows them that they need not worry. See, the material things of life will control your heart and mind and will make you a servant to them if you allow them. A man of modest means once told a wealthy man, I have more than you have. And the wealthy man replied, how's that so? And he said, because I have all that I want and you don't. The material things of life can control the heart and the mind and make you a slave to them if you allow them. But the truth is that true wealth can be measured in terms of spiritual contentment. You're a rich person if you are one who is spiritually content in God. You may be poor materially. You may have very little. You may have just enough to get by. You may be wondering where your next meal is going to come from. But if you're content in God, then you're rich spiritually. Because material possessions are not what life consists of. There's a bigger picture view that Jesus wants the believer to understand here. And the rhetorical question that Jesus asks makes the point. Back in verse 25 again, he says at the very end of that verse, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Don't our lives consist of much more than what we're going to eat and how we're going to clothe ourselves? And the answer, of course, is yes. And so don't define your life by what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, and even more broadly, what you have materially. These things that Jesus mentions here in verse 25 represent the material concerns of life. Life is much more than that. It consists of much more than just what we eat and what we put on, where we live. In fact, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus told a parable about a foolish man who made life all about what he had and what he could gain for himself. And in the end, he lost it all, including his soul. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus sums it up and he says, take heed. Be careful in your life. Pay attention and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And when we get to verse 33, Jesus will tell us what the meaning of life really is. What does life consist of? We'll get there in a moment. But I want you to see, first of all, that we are not to live under the control of material possessions. Now in verses 26 through 30, I want you to see the second thought, and that is that we are not to trust self for the provision of our material needs. We are not to trust self for the provision of your material needs. Yes, the paycheck that you earn may provide you the means to buy food and to buy clothing and to keep a roof over your head. But you can do all that while still trusting God to take care of your material needs. So don't trust self for the provision of your material needs. And Jesus uses nature to illustrate the dependence that the believer must exercise upon Him as the true provider. And that's who He is. He is the true provider. We may take great comfort in the paycheck that we earn to take care of our needs, but don't lose sight of God as the true provider. Tomorrow you could lose it all, and then who's going to care for you? God is the true provider. And as I said, He uses nature to illustrate this. You'll notice in verse 26, He says, look at the fowls of the air. Look at the birds that fly over your head. He says, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. They're not planting fields to grow the food that they eat. They're not reaping that food. They're not storing it away in a barn for themselves. They are completely dependent on their Creator. So consider, behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He's their provider. Question then is, are ye not much better than they? Is it logical to think that God cares more for His human creation than He does for His animal creation? I think so. He's created us with much more value, hasn't He? And so if God cares enough to feed the fowls of the air, then God cares much more to feed His own. He goes on in verse 27. Well, I want you to notice, first of all, God is the owner and therefore the source of what you need. God is the owner and therefore the source of what you need. That's what makes Him the provider. He owns it all. He has all in His hand, at His disposal, in His storehouse. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And so He's the owner and therefore the source of what you need. We find that in verse 26. Notice in verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Worry can no more add height than it can add length to your life. In some places, this word is translated stature, is translated length of days, the idea of length of life. which of you by taking thought, in other words, by being consumed with, by overloading your heart and your mind with concern about something, can change the outcome with that worry? You can't. God has designed you and I to have dependence upon Him. He goes on in verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment, your clothing? Why are you concerned about what you're going to wear? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. See, God has designed a system of provision for the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom to ensure that all of their needs are met, that they can grow. And we find in Psalm 104, we find the psalmist writing about this. In Psalm 104, I'll read just kind of a selection of verses that address this truth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with food. And you have more value than them. So there's no reason to doubt God's careful provision for your needs. God's creation in the animal kingdom, His creation in the plant kingdom, He has designed His providential care all throughout creation. If He's done it for the animals and for the plants, then He has designed it for you as well. And Jesus says the garments that clothed wealthy King Solomon are no match for the design of God within His creation. Verse 29, Solomon, all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The intricacies of God's design in nature. Ought to bring to our hearts and our minds His glory, His care, His perfection in all that He does to care for His creation. And He says in verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God's particular care in His creation informs us of the care that you and I can expect from Him as His children. And this is why Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The root issue here really is one of dependence. Don't trust self for the provision of your material needs. Trust the one who feeds the animal creation. Trust the one who grows the plant creation. The root issue is one of dependence. You'll notice in verse 30, he says, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see, worry is nothing more than self-dependence. It's you and I leaning on ourselves, leaning on our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own feeble selves to care for ourselves. And the heart concerns of God's people find their foundation in the matter of who they are depending upon. You see, Jesus is teaching a transition of the heart away from self-dependence to God-dependence. Just as he instructed in the proper framework for prayer in verse 11, he said, give us this day our daily bread. He's teaching them to depend upon him for what they need. And if you're a child of God, you are to be completely dependent upon God for what is needed daily in your life. In Philippians chapter 4, we find Paul's personal testimony along these lines. Would you turn there with me, Philippians 4? And I want you to notice with me verses 6 through 13. Here Paul says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be full of care. Don't be anxious. Or as Jesus put it in Matthew 6, take no thought for anything. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The one who feeds the animals, the one who arrays the fields in intricate beauty, let your requests be made known to him. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He's thanking them for the provisions that they sent for him. And he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so Paul understood Jesus' words here in Matthew 6. He understood what it means to take no thought for his life. And his testimony was not that he never suffered need. His testimony was not that he never had a lack, right? He said, I know how to be hungry. I know how to be full. I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. But his testimony was that I can do all things through Christ. I've learned how to trust God, how to depend upon him, how instead of being anxious to let my requests be made known unto God and allow God's peace to fill my heart and mind. In verse 31 of Matthew 6, he says, again, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And this time, as he says that, he follows it up with another reason. And so I want you to see, number one, don't live under the control of material possessions, Jesus says. And he says, don't trust self for the provision of your material needs. But number three, he says, don't fail to remember that God knows your material needs. Don't fail to remember that God knows your material needs. In verse 32, he says, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You'll see in your Bible probably that first phrase in parentheses, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And what he's doing is he's pointing out that there is godlessness in worry. There's godlessness in anxiety. When you worry, you're shoving God out of the picture. And in essence, you're saying, God can't do it. God is not enough. Jesus said, the heathen, those who don't worship, those who don't know God, this is what they do. They worry. They seek after, where's my next meal going to come from? How am I going to pay for this or pay for that? That's a godless way of thinking, Jesus says. That's the worry of self-dependence. So don't fail to remember that God knows your material needs. And that's what he says in the remainder of verse 32. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He's not ignorant. He's not blind. He knows. And just as he knows the physical needs of the animals in his creation, even though they can't communicate them to him, he certainly knows your needs. The idea here of knowing is to perceive by seeing. He's visually aware of every aspect of your life. And so don't fail to remember that God knows your material needs. For God, to know is to care. Right? The essence of what Jesus is saying here is because he knows, he cares. Right? He knows that you have need of all these things. Now, Jesus, if God knew but didn't care, then Jesus wouldn't be saying, don't worry about it. Don't take thought. But Jesus is saying he knows, therefore he cares. And back in verse 8 of Matthew 6, we saw this truth. Be not therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Last thought here is don't fail to seek God because of worry. Don't let worry get in the way of seeking God. Make seeking God first. Verse 33. Probably, perhaps one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't fail to seek God because of worry. Don't let worry shut out your desire and your practice of seeking God. Since God knows your need, he is the one to be sought rather than the fulfillment of your needs. And this is in contrast to the focus of the things that the Gentiles seek after. They seek after the material provisions of this world because they don't know God. But you do. So seek him. Let him be the fulfillment of your needs. His kingdom here speaks to that spiritual and eternal realm where he dwells and is at work. And this is where real value lies. In the kingdom of God, we find what truly matters. Food, drink, clothing, as important as it is to our everyday lives, it's secondary to God. And his kingdom is first. In verse 25, he stated that life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. So seek first the kingdom of God. There's more to life than food and clothing and material possessions. There's more to life than what you can accumulate to make yourself comfortable and secure. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Real meaning is found in the kingdom of God. His righteousness speaks to the rightness or acceptableness of Christ before God that you and I have had imputed to us at salvation. And so your seeking of that imputed righteousness is a practical outworking of it in your daily life. It comes by faith. And you'll notice the promise. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God will take care of you. He'll make sure everything's covered. He'll make sure that you are sustained. Might not be in the way that you imagined. You might not have everything that you imagined that you would have in life. But all those things are secondary. And you will be sustained. All these things shall be added to you. The provision of material needs follows a proper heart attitude in the practice of seeking God and his righteousness. Don't fail to seek God because of worry. Don't let it derail you from seeking God. And then lastly, verse 34, last verse here, take no thought therefore for the morrow. Don't take thought for food, drink, or clothing, and don't take thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about the needs of tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own set of needs to worry about. And there is plenty of trouble for today, and there is no need to increase it through the enslaving worry of material needs. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The idea there is there's plenty of trouble coming. Or there's plenty of trouble today. You don't need to worry about the trouble that's coming. God knows. God sees. God cares. And worry is dead weight that God does not intend for you to carry around. He intends for His peace to keep your hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to review this morning, Jesus says, don't live under the control of material possessions. He says, don't trust self for the provision of your material needs. He says, don't fail to remember that God knows and cares for your material needs, and don't fail to seek Him because of worry. How are you addressing worry in your heart? In essence, Jesus' instructions here are twofold. Depend upon Him rather than on self, and seek Him above all else. Are you doing that? Are you controlled by anxiety over the uncontrollable? Father, help us. We're tempted, Lord, to be ruled in our hearts by the things of this life. Lord, even those who have everything that they can ever want, Lord, can be filled with anxiety and can be deterred from seeking first the kingdom of God. I pray that you would minister your grace to our lives this morning. Lord, to begin the real work of addressing these needs. Lord, it really comes down to a matter of faith, of full dependence upon you. Realizing that we're not enough. We thank you that you know and you care about all of our needs. Even Lord, in times of lack, Lord, we know that you're there. We know that you're faithful. And you'll never be unfaithful. Help us to trust that. And I pray that you would bring great peace, Lord, to any heart here this morning that is burdened with worry and anxiety. I pray that they would find victory by grace through faith in you and in you alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed, encourage you, as a verse of invitation is played on the piano, to address any aspect of what Jesus said here and ask God to give you the grace to apply it in your life, to build your faith and your trust, your confidence in Him, to care for your every need.